So today, we're going to continue on with our Living in Freedom series, and I do want to recap a little bit of last week for you real quick before we jump in. I apologize that the podcast hadn't been loaded yet. We tried to load it earlier in the week, but there was a problem with the file, and we're trying to sort that out. If we can't get the file sorted out, I will go back and re-record it so that we can have it on the podcast, because last week's message was so, so important, and we want to get that so you can listen to it. So we started this series called Living in Freedom, and we're using the book of Galatians kind of as our roadmap through this series. And so I want to encourage you to jump into the book of Galatians, maybe do some reading there. Maybe that could be a place where you spend some devotional time, jot some thoughts down, but there's some stuff in there that we want to pull out that I really believe is going to help you. And this guy Paul, who's an apostle, he wrote the book of Galatians, and you have to understand the reason he wrote it. He started the church in this city called Galatia, and as he's going around starting these churches and getting them going, he often would write a letter back to that church to make sure that they were staying on track, to encourage them, to help them to be able to lead the people. And so this particular letter he's writing to the book of Galatia, what's happening is the people there are being challenged literally by another gospel. So that they've come in, they preach the good news about Jesus saving, but others are coming in there and they're trying to twist it a little bit, and they're trying to say, Jesus, and you got to do all of this stuff too. And what it's doing is it's bringing people right back into some of the old things that they were involved in before. Don't you just hate that when you get a little momentum and then you slip back? You know the old saying, I take one step forward and two steps back. And this is kind of what's going on here. And Paul is aware of it. And he says, no, we got to help these people continue to move forward. So he drops a letter on them and makes sure that they understand what's going on. So let me give you a little context of what was happening there, okay? There were some Jews that were there that were telling the Gentiles, okay? So there's the Jews. These are the people who have the Jewish faith. And then there's the Gentiles. Gentiles is anybody who is not Jewish, okay? And so the Jews are telling the Gentiles, listen, I know you heard about Jesus and he saves and everything, but you hadn't been circumcised yet. So y'all need to come to our church membership class so that you can get circumcised. And there ain't a lot of dudes showing up at that church membership class, am I right? Just not going to happen. And so this is literally what's going on here. And so the gospel of Jesus is based on truly believing in him as our Savior. But they're trying to say, yeah, you can believe in Jesus, but you got to do all this other stuff too if you're going to be godly, if you're going to make it to heaven. In other words, you got to go through everything I went through to be good enough for God. That's the context of what they're saying. And Paul just is like, man, what in the world is happening to you? He starts out saying, how quickly are you going back to this old stuff? This is not the true gospel. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people, especially in the South, that live under these premises. They believe in Jesus for their salvation, but they add the extra stuff to it, and it leads people to believe that you cannot have a right relationship with God unless you measure up to somebody else's standards. This ain't a good place to elbow your neighbor right there, okay? This is serious stuff. And so Paul's saying, listen, let me write these guys a letter and try to get them back. So last week what we did was we went all the way back to the book of Genesis. And we really saw where this began, because in the Garden of Eden, there were two trees that were there. There was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, most of the time, we know about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because we've heard the stories. We've read the little books, you know, where Eve has the long hair to cover her body parts because we don't want to be inappropriate. And we always see her holding an apple. And so she's holding the apple and she bites the apple and that's it. All kind of hell breaks loose and the world's falling to pieces. They get kicked out of the garden. That's the virgin that we know. But we fail to realize there was actually another tree in the garden. There were a bunch of trees, but there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God said, don't touch. But there's also the tree of life. And they were enticed by Satan. They were tempted by Satan. And listen, they were not tempted out of a state of rebellion. They were tempted out of a state. This is what he said. He said, you will be like God if you eat this fruit. Really what he was trying to do was appeal to Adam and Eve's desire to be holy, to be righteous. And so what he did was he twisted it. He said, you really want to be holy? You want to be right? Why don't you come and eat this? And they fell for it and they ate the fruit. And of course, because of that, they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And now sin has entered the world. And so the question that we presented was this, which tree are you living in? Are you living in the tree of life where it's a faith and a trust and a relationship with God that brings you to godliness? Or are you living out of a rules-based foundational relationship with God, okay? And so as we begin to break this down, we said that the tree of knowledge is based on what you have to do, but the tree of life is based on what Jesus has done, amen? And then the tree of knowledge is based on, it's a love from God based on his approval. If you do good enough, I will love you. And that's a big one, because there's a lot of people trying to earn love from God that he freely gives. Can I just say this to you today? This might be the most powerful thing I say today. God loves you no matter what. Tell your neighbor that real quick. Just look at him and say, God loves you. You might be mad at that person sitting next to you. Y'all might have gotten a fight on the way to church. Just look at him and say, God loves you no matter what. They may say, well, what about you? You say, he's working on me. He's working on me. See, God's not loving you based off of you. It's based off of him, who he is. The Bible says God is love. It's impossible for God not to love you. The Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of God. Isn't that awesome? But then you got this tree of knowledge of good and evil that's telling you that you only loved if you do everything you're supposed to do. You see how much oppression, let me say it like this, how much depression that could put on somebody. Can you see why people might be away from the Lord? Can we see why maybe people are staying away from church? Because they feel like I got to jump through all the hoops in order to get God to love me. That's backwards, man. God already loves you. And because he loves you, that's what's going to motivate you to want to jump through the hoops. Are you seeing that? So it's a get-to gospel or a got-to gospel. And you get to decide how you want to do this thing. Let's go with the get-to gospel out of a relationship with Jesus, okay? So we had three things that we shared last week. If you're going to live in this tree of life, you're going to live the get-to gospel. If you're going to live under the promises of God rather than the threats, you got to do three things. Number one, fall in love with Jesus. If you fall in love with Jesus, all the right actions are going to follow, okay? You say, well, fall in love, and especially as a dude, it's like, what is that? Falling in love with Jesus. Well, falling in love with Jesus is because he's done something for me, and it's because of who he is. That's why we love people. Because of what he's done for me and because of who he is, I love him. Here's the second thing. Don't allow condemnation. Those thoughts that are in our mind that are trying to tell us, oh, you did it again. Look at you. You said you were going to change and you're already back to it again. You said you were going to be a church this week. You said you were going to do this. And it's these condemning thoughts that's trying to beat you down. You don't have to listen to that. Can we catch an attitude with condemnation a little bit and say, oh, I don't have time for this? Can we get mad at it instead of being mad at ourselves and being mad at church people? Can we get mad at these condemning thoughts and not listen to it? If we're going to live in the tree of life, we can't allow the condemnation. Number three, we have to choose daily. Every day, we're going to have to make a conscious decision that I am going to live in the tree of life. Amen? And so evidently, we're having some technical problems with the screens, and I'm not sure what's going on there. And so you're probably going to have to pull out your Bible apps on your phone if you want to follow along with the scripture today. But let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to read the verses. Jesus, I pray that as we share this message today, that it's going to be life-giving and life-changing. And Lord, the specific people that are here today, God, you wanted them to hear this message. And Lord, I'm asking for your help to present it in a way that is life-giving, to say it in a way, God, that really, really convinces every person here to believe and trust God. And so, Lord, today, I'm believing this is going to be a difference. This is going to make a difference in our life. This is going to be a day where things change. Our perspective of you changes. And our perspectives of ourselves change. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Amen. All right, let's go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. I apologize, we don't have the stuff on the screen. And guys, I think I want to come and preach on the floor today, if that's all right. Y'all cool with that? If I get fired up, it ain't my fault. Galatians chapter 2, and we're going to read this out the Message Bible today, Galatians 2, verse 11. And I'll do my best to read it clearly. In case you didn't bring your Bible app with you or you don't have some way to follow. It says this in Galatians 2, and I'm going to read out the Message version of the Bible because today I really want to get onto your level with this message. And I posted last night on social media. I believe this is one of the most important messages that we can hear as a Christian. And you'll see why as we jump in. Galatians chapter 2, you notice we're continuing in the book of Galatians. We're in chapter 2 now. Verse 11, it says, later when Peter came to Antioch, this is Paul writing this now. He says, when Peter came to Antioch, I had a face-to-face confrontation with him. And y'all thought the Bible was all nice and neat and clean. He's letting you know, look, Peter showed up. I had a face-to-face confrontation with him. Anybody ever been there before? You ever had to have a face-to-face confrontation? Lightning is striking. You better behave today. He says, I had a face-to-face with him because he was clearly out of line. Here's the situation. Now watch this, and you'll see why he did this. It says, earlier before certain persons had come from James, Peter regularly ate with the non-Jews. He regularly ate with the Gentiles. But when that conservative group came from Jerusalem, he cautiously pulled back. Key word there, he pulled back. He was eating with the Gentiles, but then this group of religious people showed up from Jerusalem, and he starts pulling back from the Gentiles and put as much distance as he could manage between himself and his non-Jewish friends. When they weren't around, he was sitting there eating with them. I mean, they went and eat wings on Thursday night. They were living it up large. They went to Joe's E-group. I mean, they were just doing it. Then he found out the conservative religious people were coming, and he had to get a little distance because I don't want them to think that I'm really for real. I don't want them to know. I need them to know that I'm still running with them. And so Paul says, well, look, man, we got to have a talk. So he confronts Peter, and the language of it is face-to-face. Like, this almost sounds like, let's talk, bro. And they went around the corner. You don't do that in front of everybody. You go around the corner. And it was a face-to-face confrontation. And it says this, as we keep reading, that's how fearful he was of the conservative Jewish clique that's been pushing the old system of circumcision. Unfortunately, the rest of the Jews in the Antioch church joined in that hypocrisy so that even Barnabas, now remember this, when Paul was getting started in ministry, he didn't have any credibility. And so this guy named Barnabas, who had a lot of cred in the church, said, look, man, I'm going to come with you and help you get in these churches. They love me. They don't like you, but they will listen to you because they like me. And that's who Barnabas was. So he kind of kick-started Paul's ministry. But it says here that even Barnabas got into this religious charade. Even Barnabas, who had the greatest of intentions, kind of slipped back right into these old religious rules that y'all ain't good enough because y'all didn't go what we went through. Come on. Do you see how strong this religious stuff can become that you don't even recognize it? And so this is happening, and it's even sucking this guy, Barnabas, right into it. And so Paul is telling them, basically, look, Peter is going back to the old rules. He's going back to these old standards and basically saying that what Jesus did wasn't enough. And this is what I have to warn us about when it comes to trying to, quote unquote, be religious. What it does is it exemplifies a life that we say, Jesus, what you did wasn't enough. So I have to do some extra to make up for what you didn't accomplish. And I think that's pretty arrogant. And that's why religion always comes across as prideful. And in my heart, that's why I believe people stay away from the church, because they don't want anything to do with that. Can I hear an amen? So I think the going back thing is a challenge that even you and I face. Because going back to the way it was, no matter how it was before, because it could have been really bad. The thing about going back is I've already been there. So it's familiar. Let me say it a different way. It's comfortable. And if it's comfortable, I'd rather be there than here where it's uncomfortable. And even though it might be dysfunctional, at least I know what to expect. Come on, they're working on this thing. I don't know what y'all doing, but I see the mountains. Didn't that sound spiritual? Goodness, man. God's in this place. So here's the thing. When it comes to freedom, we want the freedom that Jesus gives us. Not just the ability to abstain from something. Okay? We want true freedom that God gives, not just abstaining from something, but power that will literally break chains. Are you grabbing this today? Because I want to make sure that the way we're presenting freedom isn't some kind of self-help gospel, because self-help only lasts as long as your strength and your support system. But true freedom that comes from him lasts forever. Come on. And that's what I want to make sure we're presenting in here, because a lot of people will turn from a bad lifestyle and get a bunch of rules and walk that chalk line, but they can only do it for so long because the motivation is not where it needs to be. It's from fear instead of it being from faith. Okay? I'm down here, and it's different preaching down here than up there. I feel like we're going to say some stuff today. So just like Peter went back, we have to be aware that you and I have the tendency to go back. Now, we're talking about this tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. We want to live in the tree of life, but we all have a tendency to swing back to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's kind of like there's some vines hanging in that tree, and we pull a little Tarzan every now and then. And I want to tell you a true story of something that happened to me like 2 weeks ago. I was Tarzan. And so we had an incredible Easter service, 9 people water baptized. So I'm just like all fired up that Monday morning after Easter, okay? I mean, like, I was supposed to take the day off, but I'm jacked up, man. Like, woo, just like feeling it. And so we had a lot of stuff in our storage trailer that we need to bring back to store. So it's like, I'm going to handle this today. My energy is up. So I'm driving in my truck, and I got that song, Do It Again, on, you know, that one that we played. I'm listening to my Do It Again. I'm worshiping Jesus, you did it before. I believe you're going to do it again. Me and Jesus high-fiving in the truck, and I'm feeling it. It's like Easter never stopped. And I'm just feeling it. And so I'm driving to the storage unit, got the truck on, got the trailer, but it's going to rain. And so I need to hurry. And so I'm driving over there. And so when you get to the storage unit, they have one of those gates that go up. But, you know, I know, why not just spend the extra money and get the clicker for the gate? You know, a little key fob thing with the clicker on it. So I get my key fob out, feeling good about myself because, you know, other people didn't have it. And so I'm pulling up, pressing my button. And I saw that vine hanging in that tree right there when I was pushing that button. You know what I'm talking about? That vine from that tree that I was about to swing back. And so I'm pressing the button, nothing's happening. So I get all the way up to the gate. Now, you have to know, I am spending money every month to have the clicker. And it ain't working. So I roll the window down. You know, I'm doing this whole thing. Nothing. So in my armrest, there's a card, a swipe card. So I got to get the swipe card out to go swipe it on the gate. So I'm getting out, and I'm still pressing the button. And it's about from Mr. Robert to Cynthia, from my door to the little gate thing. And so I'm walking over there to it, still pressing the button. I don't even get to it, and the gate opens. Okay. Hurry up. Let's get this unloaded. So I pulled the truck and trailer around, get everything unloaded, and it's starting to rain just as I'm finishing up. So it's like, good, let's hurry up. And so I jump in the truck, and I mean, it just starts coming down. And so I pull around to leave out of this place. Well, you got to open the gate to leave. They don't just automatically do it like the fancy neighborhood y'all live in, okay? Like, you got to access this thing. So I'm pressing my button again, and it's raining. And at this point, I need y'all to know I swung to the other tree. Because I'm in the truck, and I'm making expressions, and I'm saying things like, paying all this money for this clicker, and it doesn't even work, you know, that whole, and don't look at me like y'all don't do this stuff. And so I'm expressing myself, and then I notice above the little keypad, there is a camera, and some of you would be embarrassed that you were reacting that way, not me, because I know they're watching. In the rain. Go back to the truck, put it in there, come back out with the little key thing, and I'm holding it up like this at the camera. And I'm like holding it as I get to the keypad, and I go, I'm not even swiping it, and the gate opens up. That was bad. So when I get back in the truck, turn the music back on, and why don't you do it again? I'm like, I swung. Tarzan. I just went from the tree of life right to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I'm telling you, I was so fired up, and I really believe they were watching me. Because a couple days later, I went back, and I just stuck my arm out the truck, and I did this with the button, and it opened. I know they were messing with me that day. But I share that story because that's the stuff. That's the real life stuff. See, that little happening right there could have triggered some things. Could have triggered some bad attitudes the rest of the day with other people in my life. And, you know, I have to tell you, I have a history of a temper. I do. My parents are here. They would tell you I was an angel, but I need you to know I had a temper. And that temper was trying to manifest itself. And I say that because we all have a tendency to go back. We do. It doesn't matter how far along you've been as a believer. Listen, let's not fall into this kingdom veteran thing that you think that you can't fall. Okay? Because all it takes is one key fob not to work. And we will swing back. So I'm going to use that story kind of today to just help you see the scope of what we're talking about here today and how to deal with that. And also let you know that if you're going to deal with this, this isn't just, well, that one Sunday 10 years ago, I dealt with this. No, this is going to be pretty much every Sunday for the rest of your life, every day for the rest of your life. You're going to deal with these kinds of things because like we ended last week, it's a choice. I have to make a choice where I'm going to live. Am I going to live in the relationship with Jesus or am I going to go back to my old ways? What is it going to be? And so I'm going to go back to the book of Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. And this is Paul. He's continuing. He says this. He says, we know very well that we are not set right with God by rule keeping, but only through personal faith in Jesus Christ. And I need you to hear that. And if you have a religious background, if you have a strong Bible Belt influence, you need to hear that. We know very well that we are not set right with God by rule keeping, but only through personal faith in Jesus Christ. This is so huge because your relationship with God is what your relationship through Jesus is what makes you right with God. And a lot of times we put the rules first and we never get the relationship. And so you're trying to say, God, look at me, look how good I am. And God's like, I don't see you. I don't know you. I don't have that kind of relationship with you. But if he has the relationship with us, then the right kind of behavior is going to come out of that relationship. That's what I'm trying to tell you today, okay? So watch this. So he says, look, how do we know? We tried it. That's how we know that it only works through a relationship with Jesus. We tried it. We had the best system of rules the world has ever seen. Now you have to know this, that Paul was studying to be a religious teacher, okay? He was going to become a Pharisee. So he was an expert in the law. All the religious law of the Old Testament, he was an expert in it. And that's why he can say, we had the best system there has ever been. But I can tell you, I've tried it and it doesn't work. That's what he's trying to let them know. It doesn't work. It was the best set of rules, system of rules the world has ever seen. And convinced that no human being can please God by self-improvement. Did you hear that? No human being can please God by self-improvement. We believed in Jesus as the Messiah so that we might be set right before God by trusting in the Messiah, not by trying to be good. What actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God. Are you feeling his pain? He's almost sliding into some profanity here, am I right? Some of y'all looking at me like you ain't never said them words before. Maybe this week it happened. Got to work on that. He said, I worked my head off to please God and it didn't work. So I quit being a lawman so that I can be God's man. Isn't that good? Quit trying to be a lawman so I can be God's man. It's easy to revert back to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's human nature. Listen to this. It's human nature to go back because we like controlling more than we like trusting. It's easier to control whenever there's all these rules. It's easier to, because I can compare and I can control how good this guy is based off of what I do. And make myself believe that I'm okay with God. Watch this. Because at least I'm not as bad as him. Or it could be twisted. He thinks he's better than everybody. He leads that E group. Listen, this is the kind of stuff that happens. Because people can look at other people and start judging and say they think they're better than everybody because they do that, because they do that. Do you see how this rule, this whole thing of rules starts infiltrating all these areas of our lives? And it's not drawing us closer to God, and it's not even drawing us closer to each other. What it's doing is it's isolating us. It's isolating us to a place of comparison, and the comparison is creating gaps in families. It's creating gaps in churches, and good relationships that we need, we no longer have. And now we're stuck suffering all by ourselves. But watch this. At least I ain't as bad as them. But I ain't got nobody with me. Let me keep going because I'm on the floor and I got to preach today. We prefer fact over faith. We used to think that it was faith versus fear. We thought that was the battle. It was faith versus fear, but actually it's faith versus fact, because I have to know everything before I go with it. You ever wondered why perhaps some of these relationships in our lives aren't working out so well? Because we have to know every little thing, and then when we know every little thing, we don't like what we hear. So then we try to hear another person's everything, and we don't like what we hear from them. And then we tell them our everything, and they don't like us. Are you seeing what I'm saying here? Do you see? But we got to have fact before we follow. And our faith is nowhere to be found, because we have more faith in ourselves than we do in God. And can I say, as a believer, that's a problem. We have more faith in ourselves than we do in God. So today, I want to share a message that is so necessary for us as believers, as Christians, and I want you to know, this is a very difficult message. This is a very hard thing for every one of us in here to do. It's hard for pastors to do. It's hard for the greatest, listen, I guarantee you, I know Billy Graham has passed away, and he was this incredible, he had an incredible legacy. I need you to know, this was hard for him to do as well. This was so extremely difficult. It's not popular. This isn't the teaching that grows the church. This is one of the things that grows people. Because this isn't popular. This is real. This is the stuff that you're going to need tomorrow morning when you're in traffic. This is going to be the stuff that you're going to need when that coworker in the cubicle next to you is being the coworker in the cubicle next to you. Come on. And I know you need some help with this. So today what I want to talk about, I want to talk about living the crucified life. And somebody said, he just gave us permission to kill the coworker. No, I didn't. We're living the crucified life. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. One of the most impacting verses in the Bible. And this is what it says. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. Now, let me stop there, because our religious rules would make us believe I need to be crucified for Christ. But it says, I am crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. Now, there's a phrase coming up right here after that period. The life I now live. It's a switch. There's a difference between who I was and who I am now. The life I now live in this body, I live by how? By rules or by faith? I live by fact or by faith? I'm living by faith in the Son of God, who loved me. Notice right after you're given the context, I'm doing this by faith, because he loved me and he gave himself for me. He was willing to make a sacrifice that no one else would be willing to make for me. So the life I now live, I'm living by faith in him, because he's doing the stuff that nobody else does. He's got credibility that no one else has. Now, notice again, it doesn't say I'm crucified for him, but I'm crucified how? I'm crucified with him. In other words, I'm not doing this to gain, to earn, but I'm basically getting in on what he has done for me. Notice how I said that. I'm getting in on what he has done for me. So he went to the cross to die so my sins could be forgiven. So I'm going to be crucified with him, so I no longer have to live that kind of life of sin any longer. Okay? So let me give you some context with that, okay? This life I now live, this is a decision. The life I now live is a declaration. In other words, I'm working it out as I live this life, because tomorrow ain't here yet. I know right now for today, this is the decision I'm making, but I may face an entirely different set of circumstances by 7 p.m. tonight. So the life I now live, I have to live by faith in the Son of God. So I'm making a decision. I'm making it my declaration. I'm letting it be known. This is the life I now live. And I'm also making it my determination that I am determined to live by faith in the Son of God, no matter what comes at me in my life. Are you grabbing this? So it's a decision, it's a declaration, but it's also a determination. I am determined to do it because of all that he was determined to do for me. See, I'm motivated by what he did. He motivates me. This is the thing you need to know about Jesus. What he did motivates us to live right. So I want us to go and flash back to a verse here. Okay? Now keep this in mind. Paul is saying all this in context to Peter, because Peter's going back, and Paul's letting him know, look, I'm not going back. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. I'm not changing because certain people come in town. I'm not changing because it's football season and we tailgating. See, I just slipped that in there because we had a little game last night. I'm not changing my morals and my values and my godliness because it's summer. I'm not changing my godly standards because we're going on a 7-day cruise and I don't know nobody here. Glory to God. Let's flash back on this verse, Matthew 16. Jesus says this, verse 21, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. We just had the whole Easter experience, so this is basically it in a nutshell. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Peter, the guy who's going back and hang out with the people, you know, the religious people show up, I got to go to dinner with them, I can't let them know I've been hanging out with the normal people. Peter, that very guy, listen to what he said to Jesus when Jesus is trying to say how he's going to die, how he's going to be crucified. Peter says this, never, Lord. This shall never happen to you. And Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. I need you to know, I've been called a lot of things in my life. I ain't never been called Satan. Maybe y'all thought it a couple times, but I've never been called Satan. And it's funny, listen, I bring a scripture verse up because it's funny that Peter is going back off of this crucified life thing, and he was the very one that was trying to keep Jesus from going to the cross to be crucified. Do you see how strong this religious stuff could be that it could stand in the very way of what Jesus is wanting to do? And some of y'all are like, oh, you can't stop Jesus. He's invincible. Read your Bible, because there were cities he couldn't do miracles in because the people didn't have the faith. Come on. So this guy, Peter, is interesting because he's swinging back to this other tree, and this religious thing is just flaring back up in him. And you know, there are certain people you can get around and your behavior might be tweaked a little bit. Oh, so-and-so's coming, got to make sure of this, got to make sure of that. And so we start to change because so-and-so is coming around, and God wants us to be consistent with the relationship with it. It's like if somebody shows up and I'm acting like I ain't married to this woman. How many of y'all know we're going to have a talk in the car? In the bedroom. Door closed, not to do the stuff that you're thinking, but have conversation. Peter, though, this guy, one moment he's in, next moment he's out. One weekend, oh, we got to go to church every week. The next weekend, I can't go today. I just ain't feeling it. Swinging back and forth from tree to tree. Come on, I'm preaching this thing. But watch this. This is what Jesus said to the disciples, okay? He says, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but things of men. In other words, you're not thinking of this the way God does. You're thinking of it the way men do. And this is how most people try to get free. They think of it the way people think instead of the way that God thinks. That's why they always have to manage everything instead of experiencing true freedom. Okay? So watch this. He says this. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. I told you this was a tough message. Whoever would save his life would lose it, but whoever loses life for me will find it. Key word there, life. Whoever wants this life that I have, they have to be willing to give up their life to gain this. In other words, you can't get what God's got as long as you hold on to what you got. And this is where it's a conflict, because we like what we've got because we've earned it. And because we've earned it, there's a sense of pride that comes with it. Look what I've done. And look what I've done is it's a direct conflict with look at what God has done. Because it's pride. And pride, the Bible says God resists the proud. Stiff arm. He resists the proud, but what does he do? He gives grace to the humble. He gives grace. He resists pride, but he gives grace. And perhaps because of that pride, we're missing out on what God has for us. Perhaps based off of our own self-improvement techniques, we're keeping the grace of God from flowing in our lives. So this is what's got to happen. The self-improvement techniques, those things that we have in mind, I can do this, I can handle this, those things have to die. You say, Pastor Wade, you can't tell us we can't have discipline. You got to have discipline, but your motive of it has to come from the relationship with Jesus and not just from this, I ain't going to be like them and I'm better than that. That can't be the motivation. Okay? So Peter, he's being introduced to living the crucified life. That's what Jesus is doing. He's introducing him to the crucified life. You have to be willing to deny yourself and follow me. Now, he told Peter, not only did he call him Satan, but he said, you're a stumbling block. You're a stumbling block. You're getting tripped up. And you're tripping others. And a lot of times, this religious mindset is tripping us up, but it's tripping others up. Come on, I know I'm messing with key stuff that people have been taught all their life. Some of the stuff I was taught. And it's almost like, how dare you do that? There were respectable people that taught you this. I know. And I'm not disrespecting them. What I'm doing, though, is I'm grabbing a hold of what God has for me. And that's what we want you to do, is to grab hold of what God has for you instead of cycling around. You ever notice that? We work really hard and get good. I'm doing better. I'm doing better, Joe. Better now. 2 weeks later, pray for me, man. Pray for me. I'm not doing as good anymore. I feel like I'm right back where I was when I started. But I'm going to get through this. I'm going to put my game face on. I'm going to get through this. Next time I see Joe, Joe's like, how you doing? Not doing good, man. But I ain't going to let this beat me. That's the kind of stuff. How can we find true freedom in Christ? That's because here's my deal. Jesus really as powerful as the Bible says he is? Then how come we're not experiencing it? Think of this. How come we're not experiencing this? So how do I live this crucified life? Okay. I got a few minutes and I want to finish right here. How do I live this crucified life? First thing is this, I gotta crucify myself. But this don't take this out of context now. This isn't saying go kill yourself. This is saying that your opinions and ideas about how this all should work have to change. And this is a hard thing because we're all about self-preservation. I'm going to save me. I don't know what I'm going to do about you, but if this ship is going down, I ain't drowning. Don't let go, Jack. He let go, and Rose died. Well, she let go. Rose let go. There was room on that board in that movie. How many of y'all know there was room on that board? That's right, there was room. I don't think she liked him like that, to be honest with you. He ain't have no money. I mean. So Jesus said, if you want to live the life, I'm kind of putting it in our words. He says, if you want to live the life, you got to be willing to lose your life. You got to give up your ways for his ways. Like I said, I can't get what God has for me as long as I'm trying to get it all for myself. And this so conflicts with our culture. It so conflicts with some of the self-help techniques that we read in those 11,673 books that are on our shelf that we don't even know what to do with anymore. Because the first book didn't work, so we got the next one. And that book didn't work, so we got the next one. You ever notice that? I got a bunch of them. I have to be honest with you. and they just wind up being confusing after a while. Somebody made a bunch of money off of me. That makes me mad. Romans 6 says it like this: for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Anyone who has died, if you're dead, you can't sin anymore. Think of it. If you're dead, you can't even be offended. You can't hold unforgiveness against somebody when you're dead. Like, you can't, your feelings can't get hurt whenever you die. And Jesus is trying to help them to see something here. And I'm not talking about a physical death. I'm talking about dying to this emotional state that we have so bought into. And this perspective, he's saying, listen, you got to die. Die to that sin. That fear, because some of us have been dealing with fear. There are steps of faith we never took because of fear. He's saying, if you would die, you wouldn't deal with that fear anymore. Think of this. And it's hard because we don't choose death. We want life, but Jesus is saying the way to get life is being willing to give up your life so that you can get this life that I have for you. And in order for that to happen, some opinions got to die in our lives. Some perspectives need to die because we got that perspective in a state of survival. And God's not living in survival mode. He's living in thrive mode. And we don't know what that looks like because we've been in survival mode. And so our life techniques reflect survival more than they do thriving. And so we can be blessed and be like in survival mode all over again and lose the blessing. I got to preach this because this is the essence of where so many people live and so many people cycle. For a little while, they get motivated and inspired to live for God. And then it's kind of like, eh. Good preacher comes in. Ooh, I like that. Get fired up. Eh. Love that song they play. Hear that song in the radio. Why don't they play that So Alive song at church? Every time I hear it, it moves me. Because nobody can remember the lyrics. Anyway, back to this. So watch this. Human nature is the fight to survive, but spiritual nature is the fight to surrender. Human nature, I got to survive. Spiritual nature is, what should I do? What do I need to do to completely surrender? That's so hard for us because we like to win. Because we can trash talk when we win. And I said that because there is a pride that comes with winning that makes us feel good about ourselves. Listen, you can feel good, but that doesn't mean that you're right. I wonder how many arguments with your spouse you won, but you were still wrong. Some dude right now is thinking about that. So here's the action step for crucifying yourself. It's humility. It's humility. Pride separates us from God, but God gives grace to the humble. I need the grace of God to live the life that God has for me. Come on, how many of y'all need some grace in your life? Come on, we need some grace. And how are we going to get it if we don't have some humility? So what does that look like? John 3 verse 30 says, he must become greater and greater, and I must become what? Less and less. Every day, he's got to become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. I swung to that tree that day because I got great. That's why I began to express my feelings towards a camera about a gate that couldn't open. That wasn't humble. That was prideful. And later on, I knew that was ridiculous. Don't you just hate that? I knew it. So watch it. Let me say it like this. This is what living a crucified life is going to look like. It's going to be saying no to some things. And even some good things. So I can say yes to the best things. Are you hearing that? Saying no, even to some good things, so I can say yes to the best things, to the God things. Here's number two. I got to crucify my flesh. I got to crucify myself, but I also got to crucify my flesh because I have desires. Watch this. I have tendencies. I have temptations to get what I want, to get, watch this, even what I don't need. I have temptations and desires that I've got to deal with on a daily basis. And listen, for so long, we're so used to giving in to them. For so long, we've lived that way that we have literally created these patterns of living that it's just normal to light up that cigarette because that's what I've always done. It's normal on Friday afternoon just to drink myself to sleep because that's what I've always done. And now I'm trying to stop that, and we're saying it's so hard. Why is it so hard? God, weren't you helping me? It's so hard because that's been our life pattern for so many years that that's what I know. Are you grabbing this today? Listen, some people, when it comes to relationships, all they know is conflict. And so they don't know really where the relationship's at unless there's a conflict involved. I'm preaching good now. Because it's the norm. And so I don't know how you really feel about me until you scream at me. And when I see you getting a little fight in you, that's how I know you still care. Do you see what I'm talking about? And so what we do is we walk right back into dysfunction to see if it's still normal. Because that's what we know. That's what we're accustomed to. And we don't realize that that's not what God had for us. But yet we can't kill that old self because you said it to me so long, I ain't gonna let you get away with it this time. And we just crank it right back up. Come on, somebody. As Christians, we've made decisions to follow Jesus, but our desires has been our ruler. I'm going to follow you, Jesus, but I still got these desires, still got these temptations. And so what we try to do as believers, watch this, is we try to manage our patterns. Oh, wait a minute. I got church this Sunday. Oh, I better not be bad today. Hold on. Got E-group Wednesday. What's today? Tuesday? Ooh, yeah. Don't want to share anything in there and make anybody think that I'm not living right. Like, I know you think that's petty. That's real. And listen, our motivation to do right can't be because I'm going to E-group tonight. It helps, but that cannot be the motivation. The motivation needs to be because Jesus gave his life for me. That's who I'm following. See, we can't just manage our patterns. We got to get set free. And that's what God wants to do for us. But in order to be set free, it has to be on his terms, not on ours. That's what I'm trying to say. Not on ours, but on his terms. So, Galatians 5, verse 24, it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with his passions and desires. They nailed them to the cross. Look, I'm taking this desire, this temptation, and I'm just nailing it to the cross. That's how I'm crucifying my flesh. That desire that I have, that I know that it's not calling, I'm going to nail it to the cross. I don't have to manage it. I have to crucify it. Did you hear that? I don't have to manage it. I have to crucify it. And there are patterns in our life. There are behaviors. There are attitudes even in our lives that have to be crucified. Or else it's going to keep creating a lot of the bondage and dysfunction that we've been living in. And can I say God's got a better life for us than that? Yes. How many of y'all believe that for real?
Yes.
Come on. Thank you. So here's the action step. Just like the first one was tough because it was humility, the second action step is choices. I got to make a decision. How am I going to handle this? I'm being tempted. I got a decision. I got a desire that's coming up in me because my desire is to say something, to do something that I know is going to create a mess. I got a decision here. What choice am I going to make? What does it look like? Joshua 24 said this way. Choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In other words, I'm not going to handle this my way, the old way I've always handled this. I'm going to do it God's way. And God's way is with humility. Yeah, but Pastor, if I'm humble, they're going to run right over me. No, they're not. No, they're not. Listen, just because somebody wins an argument doesn't mean that they won the battle. Decisions need discernment. You should write that down if you're taking notes. Decisions need discernment. Does this bring me closer to Jesus or does this take me further from him? Is this going to affect our relationship? If it's going to affect my relationship with Jesus, I got to have some discernment and say, that's not the decision I need to make. Sometimes we're just too quick. Going so fast that we don't take time to stop to think it through. It's not that we don't have wisdom, it's that we don't use the wisdom that we have. Okay? You're going to have temptations. You're going to have decisions to make what you're going to do with yourself, with your life, with your feelings. Don't let Monday dictate your feelings. Don't let a lack of coffee dictate your feelings. Come on. Let's, can we go there? Next Sunday, we're going to try it. We're not going to have... No, I'm messing with you. Nobody's coming. Decisions need discernment. Here's the last one. You got to crucify the world. Because this is what you need to know. That we are on sensory overload of cultural appeal. Listen to that. We have sensory overload of cultural appeal with no boundaries. We don't have any boundaries. If it appeals to us, we go for it. Later to look back and say things like, I wish I wouldn't have done that. And you have to know that the world that we live in, it is just all over the place. And it's not to pick on television, it's not to pick on media, social media, but it's there. And the reason that it's there is because people are there. Because people have desires, they have temptations, and they don't always have boundaries, they don't always have morals and standards, they don't have a relationship with God. And so they're going with whatever makes them feel the best. Our advertising is angled towards your feelings. You have to know this. Like, you got to be smart enough to know, oh, Pastor, wait, you're just one of them old folks. No, it's true. Go study marketing in school. They train you with this stuff. Scare you to death to make you spend money. Remember Y2K? Some of y'all were little babies, but trust me, there were people going broke over Y2K. And nothing happened. Nothing happened, but they scare you. They play off of your feelings. And this is what you have to know about the enemy. He messes with your feelings to try to draw you in. And if he can draw you in, he can get you. And so this is where you and I have got to understand. There are some influences in this world that are stronger than me. Don't put yourself as Superman and open your little shirt and say, look at that Superman logo. You have to know that there are some influences that are stronger than you, but this is where you got to be able to say, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Because I've got a relationship, and my relationship with God is more influential in my life than all of these other things. See, that's the foundation of our Christianity. It's not me versus you. I'm better than you because we didn't go see that movie, and my girl ain't going to wear them kinds of shorts. Come on. Don't wear that kind of shorts either, okay? But it's because of my relationship with Jesus that I want to do the right thing. That has to be the motivation, or else it's all just works, and it's all going to lead to pride, and it's all going to lead to comparison. It is going to lead literally to people putting down other people to make themselves look better so they can say, hey, God, look at me. I'm not as bad as them. Surely you think I'm something and they're nothing. Crucify myself. I got to crucify my flesh, and I got to crucify the influences that are around me so they don't get in me. So when Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ, he says, I've been crucified in relation to the world. I've ended my relationship with the world so I can have a relationship with God. I've ended this relationship, this self-love of myself and nothing else, so that I can have a relationship with God and experience true love. You grabbing that today? So here's the action step, and this is where we got to stop. It's separation. I can't go there. Let me say it like this. Hey, world, I don't like you like that anymore. But can we still be friends? No. See, you got to know when it's time to break up, and it's time to break up with the world. I can't do this anymore. Got to have a little attitude about it, but I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Listen, I am okay with hurting the devil's feelings. I can't do this anymore. I don't like you like that because I got another relationship with somebody else, and I'm not going to cheat on them with your little activities that you got going on. Are you hearing this today? Because this relationship, I got some true love, the true love of God that covers, that forgives, that heals, that sets me free. I can't play around with the restriction that comes from this relationship with you. So I'm separating myself from you, and I'm going with him. Are you grabbing this today? I told you this was a tough message, and it sounds better than it is lived out. Because tomorrow, just like that Monday when I was making faces to a TV camera at a storage unit, It might be somebody right next to your cubicle, right at your job site, living the crucified life. Let's bow our heads. Lord, today, we know that we need to live our lives your way. It's hard. But you promised to give us grace. You said that even in our weakness, your grace would be sufficient. And Lord, I pray for every one of us here today, we would choose your grace over all of the pride that we can get from helping ourselves. So Lord, today I pray that there will be a spirit of surrender amongst us, that we would surrender completely to you instead of surrendering to the temptation. Listen to me, folks. Either way, you're surrendering. You're either surrendering to the temptation or you're surrendering to God. Either way, you surrender. Lord, help us to surrender to you. As your heads are bowed this morning, your eyes are closed real quick. You say, Pastor, I am not where I need to be in my relationship with God. It's a lot of rules, a lot of guilt, a lot of shame, but you know that you're away from God. And today, you're saying, I don't want religion. I want a relationship with Jesus. And I want the salvation that he gives to transform me, to change me, and help me to be the person that God wants me to be. Maybe you've tried changing yourself, and it's been a fight. Come on, you need some grace. If that's you today, would you lift your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I need his salvation. I need the true salvation of God to change me. Come on, anyone else? That's you. Anyone else? Every Sunday, we pray this prayer together at Immerse Church, and I'm going to ask you to pray it with me this morning. Say, Dear Lord, thank you that you love me more than I ever expected and more than I ever deserved. Thank you for going to the cross to pay for my sins so that I can be forgiven. Today, I choose you over me, over the world. I choose to follow your ways over my own. I surrender myself completely to you. I choose to follow, to love. And I know out of this relationship with you, you will change me and make me a new person. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.